Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This episode has been sponsored by Generation UCAN. More about our sponsor later on in the show.
You're listening to episode 202 of the Marathon Running Podcast. In this episode, we're going to talk about running as a master athlete.
This is the Marathon Running Podcast by Letty and Ryan from We Got The Runs. Join us in our running community for weekly content that is motivational, educational, and inspirational. And let the Marathon Running Podcast take you from the starting line to the finish line and beyond.
Hey runners, and welcome to episode 202. My name is Letty.
My name is Ryan, and this dog's name is Lexi.
For all of you guys that are watching on YouTube, welcome back if you're a long-term listener, and hello if you're new. We have a weekly marathon running podcast. We've had it for the past 4 years, and we've grown just a little bit, and it's been a lot of fun. We bring experts on when we can on training, nutrition, and we also bring you guys great stories from runners that have something to share. So if you're interested, there is 201 episodes. Isn't that crazy?
That's pretty crazy. That's a lot.
Yes, and I'm sure some of them are going to be repetitive, but you know what? There's always some new information out there. There's always a new viewpoint, so I think it's still going to help long term. And sometimes it is good to hear stuff double or repeatedly, right?
Yeah, and things get updated and things change, and so I think you always try to find, you know, new people that have good ideas, so.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we're unfortunately going to start this podcast out with some breaking news. The Boston Marathon for 2024 has officially been canceled. We are just kind of learning that as we go, as we record this, we don't really know why that has happened yet. It actually only happened one time, and that was during COVID. And besides that, the Boston Marathon has been around, you know, late 1800s, and it never happens, so.
Number two, cancel day.
Yeah.
I wonder what the reason is going to be.
And I wonder if they will have a virtual option available again. I mean, in 2021, they had the virtual option. It was kind of cool. They sent you a package, and, you know, you got your own bib, and you can create your own finish line. So maybe that's something we can look forward to here.
So sorry for anyone that signed up. I guess you're out of luck.
Hopefully you had a flight that is refundable and you don't lose too much money on your super expensive hotel rooms. All right, sorry. April Fools, we let the cat out of the bag.
No, we're going to wait till the end of the episode.
I can't do that to our listeners. I'm sure like some of them fell off the treadmill and are now Googling what's going on.
Yeah, no one's going to believe us.
No? Well, I don't know. Let us know if you believed our prank. Let us know, send us a message on Instagram and, or YouTube, wherever you listen to this, let us know. It was actually Ryan's idea.
To wait until the end of the episode to reveal that you're telling a lie. That'd be more impactful that way.
Oh, well. Well, anyway.
You could keep a straight face.
I couldn't keep a straight face, especially now that we're video recording these episodes too. And, you know, the Boston Marathon is something that everyone really is excited about, and it's only 2 weeks away.
And don't cancel your plans.
Yes, do not cancel your plans.
So how can we help them with their Boston Marathon today?
Well, today is kind of unrelated. We just had a taper episode last week. So if you are in tapering, maybe go and listen to that episode from last week, 201, it is very insightful, and maybe you'll have some good tips that help you go through taper. This episode is kind of more not necessarily entertaining, but definitely for you to learn as we age, because guess what?
Everyone's aging.
Yes, everyone's aging, and so we're able to get a guest on. Her name is Rebecca Stevenson, and she is a master runner that had been running pretty competitively for 22 years prior to running her PR, a sub-3 marathon at age 49. So you know she's definitely someone we can learn from.
Yeah, and if you haven't qualified for the best of marathon, maybe you could age into it.
You know what? With you saying aging into it, I tried that when I was 30, and then when I was an older 30, the times were just getting faster and faster. I think aging into it is getting extremely hard because of the influx of people that run. There's so many more runners than there ever were before.
Yeah, we talked about that before. It'll be interesting to see if that continues, because you know there'll always be trends, and it may have been that running was less popular in the past, but at some point it'll probably reach like a balance point where more and more people will go running, and then it'll kind of level off. So maybe those times will stay similar. Or maybe not. Maybe the population will just keep increasing so much that, you know, they're always going to either have to make it bigger, and in which case, if they can, it'll just keep getting harder.
And I don't think we are really helping it with our amazing running podcast. I think if anything, we're enticing people to run more, right?
And faster.
Anyhow, so we speak with Rebecca, and how about we start playing this and have her, you know, tell the story and inspire us.
Sounds good.
All right. So without any further ado, we're now going to play our conversation with Rebecca Stevenson. All right. So I'm on here with Rebecca Stevenson. Rebecca, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, you're welcome. Very excited to be here.
Yes. And so are we. How about we start by talking a little bit about you? Tell us who you are and what you do for a living.
Oh, okay. I'm a running and triathlon and fitness coach. And I've been coaching, for, I guess, going on 22 years now. I'm also still a very competitive runner myself. I started my journey as a competitive runner almost 4 decades ago.
So you have been running since a very young age, and we came into contact. You told me that you were actually able to PR in the marathon distance as a master, which happens a lot to runners that start running in their 40s, because if you don't have a previous fast time, then obviously it's easy to PR. For you, it's the opposite, because you've been running competitively for more than 20 years. So that triggered my interest in bringing you on to talk about this whole masters running and how can we still, you know, give our best and, you know, win those age group awards and all that stuff. And so maybe let's hear a little bit about your marathon running journey, because tell us what your current PR is and tell us how many marathons you've done before that and how it was working up to that PR.
Working. Okay. So that was my, that was only my 10th marathon. I had run a couple of marathons, three, like in my youth, basically in my early 20s. My first marathon was actually running Boston as a bandit back when you could. I went to Wellesley College, and I would cheer for the runners every year, right at halfway. And one year I just decided I would hop in and I ran that as my very first marathon. And I remember how emotional I was finishing. Then I didn't run a marathon until later, in my 30s and early 40s, I ran a couple of marathons as part of my triathlon training. And then it sort of dawned on me one day that, you know, my goodness, I wish, you know, I'm getting up, this is in my late 40s. I wish I had, focused on the marathon when I got older. I'm sorry, when I was younger, because now as I'm getting older, I'm running out of time to try for this goal that was my mother's goal. And I even at the time thought, well, it just seems so far from that. Let me see what I can do. So with the pandemic and the dearth of triathlons, I started focusing on it, and my times came down, you know, slowly. I ran a few virtual marathons at the time. And then I decided to give the sub 3 hour marathon a big shot. I was, you know, super excited about it. So, like I said, under the pressure of I'm running out of time, but it was a positive pressure. I'm saying that because we do slow down as we get older, and the research shows that starting in about in your 40s, marathon times go down by about 3 minutes per year. So with this goal, when I got very close to 301, I decided I don't want to end it at 301, which is where my mother had ended her career as a marathoner. And so I did a couple of things. I gave my goal a lot of importance, which is something I encourage your listeners to do. And every goal, if it challenges you, the runner, is equally important. And so I wrote that, you know, break 3 hours on my treadmill. I wrote it on the steering wheel of my car. So it was something that I was thinking about a lot during the weeks leading up to it. And I also used another powerful tool, Letty, which is accountability. I told like each of my friends, all of my friends about it. And because it was this was also a virtual marathon. It was, I don't know if you've heard of the World Marathon Majors Global Marathon that they offer every year. Yeah. And so some of my friends showed up on marathon day, several by surprise to give me support at different points along the way. Some of them paced me or ran with me for different parts of it, as did each of my three kids. Some gave me bike support. And when I see footage now of me, like in the basically starting about mile 15, I wasn't even running in my normal way. My body was so broken down, but I gave the goal so much importance that I was going to do whatever it took to reach it. And I guess the one thing I did differently training wise is I did more runs of 22 and 23 miles. So what I would call the super long run than I had up until that point in marathon training. And really I gave those priority. And I also did several what I call fast finish runs, where you run the last 4 or 5 miles at a faster pace to teach your body to like not slow down, and your mind really, because it's a big, the mental part is huge. During those last miles of the marathon, when your body is like crying for mercy, basically.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Congratulations on that. I mean, I'm sure you have a really strong mind that goes with that and won't let go of your goals. But I do have a couple of questions, just in regards to your approach. We've heard about the fast finish and how important it is to do these negative splits. But when it comes to these longer runs, there's a lot of mixed information out there. A lot of coaches tell their runners not to run these 22, 23 mile runs because it means a lot of time on their feet. What do you tell your athletes? Because obviously for you to run 22, 23 miles, it doesn't go beyond 2.5 hours. But for a lot of runners that run slower paces than you, that means, you know, 3-4 hours on their feet, which is said to be not that great to do. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. My thoughts are, I definitely think you one should do a couple of runs at least over that 20 mile barrier, because the 20 mile point in the marathon, I think, is a big, they say that's where the marathon really starts, right? Because that's when your body is getting really depleted of glycogen and your muscles are very broken down. And even though it's only 10K left, that's when you're most physically and mentally fatigued. So even though, I can bring up, if it comes up, low mileage, I run low mileage and I have my athletes run low mileage. We do a lot of cross training instead. It gives you a lot of confidence to do a couple of runs that are, say 21 or 22 miles. And that being said, Letty, I don't mean like in the later weeks of the marathon to keep increasing your long run distance. I mean, even if you do like say two over the 20 mile, and so you can even spread them out. So you have like a week or so in between of like no long run, but a shorter long run of say 15 or 16 miles. So that it's mentally and physically a rest from the longer run that's going to give you more confidence and more ability, and also not only more ability to push through fatigue, but also more ability to practice your fueling in that later, throughout the long run, that's going to help you in race day.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. So perhaps you can share with us a little bit some insights on training needs that need to be adjusted for people that are masters so they can remain efficient and avoid injuries as we, you know, need more recovery time.
Yes, absolutely. And you mentioned a key thing there, which comes up a lot, needing more recovery time. And the reason for that is as we age, our bodies produce less growth hormone. So we can still build up stronger, but it just takes us more time to adapt to our training so that we do build up stronger towards those goals that we have. So you need more recovery between your key runs, right? Your quality training sessions, so that those runs are better quality, and so that you don't get injured. Because injury happens when we're tired and our body hasn't had enough time to build up stronger and to build up more resilient from the stress that running puts on our body. And so, for example, when I was younger, I used to do like three quality runs a week. And now I do two, and it's when I have my master's runners do. I do one that's like a speed workout kind of session. I mean, it can be a tempo run. And for my marathoners, then they'll do a long run, which often will have quality in it. But even by being a long run at a steady pace, that is also quality. And the other thing, Letty, is as we're older, as we get older, we need to treat our bodies better, like to prepare our bodies, for example, better for our runs by doing more mobility work, for example, instead of just going out the door for your run. Even if you have to shorten your run by 5 or 10 minutes, it really pays off to do, say, 5 or 10 minutes of dynamic stretching that involves mobility work, especially for your hips, but for your ankles. We also just, when it is a one of the key sessions, when we're trying to run fast, we need more warm-up time. So when you're younger, if you're going to run it on the track, you could hit the track and maybe run just a mile easy or even less. But now extend that to like a mile and a half at least. You need to be better also at the things that matter after training too, like stretching right afterwards. Eating within that half hour window, if it's again, one of the quality sessions, you know, takes on a life of its own. Things like that are very important considerations for masters runners.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I just kind of want to mention and comment that, you know, Meb, when he had turned 40, he had Coach Larson be his running coach, and when he was training for his Olympics, he made his 7-day run week into a 9-day run week just to give himself more recovery time. And then the other thing that I think we all notice when we see video footage of people that are younger running, it just seems like they're running normal. But the older we get, it feels like we do have that loss in mobility, that it's almost like you can tell that the run doesn't stretch out as far. So that makes complete sense that you say that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I definitely have felt myself a difference. I'll do a better quality run when I do the mobility work before. I just feel stronger, feel so much better than if I don't do that, you know, neglect that mobility work. Yeah, because we start losing like elasticity in our muscle tissue as we get older. And some might think, oh, I don't want to do less quality runs, you know, during my week. Or for example, if you extend it to a 9-day week, because I won't improve as much. But there's no point in, you have to work with your body, right? What it can do for you. There's no point in risking injury, which will happen if you're not giving yourself that recovery time by spreading out more those quality run sessions.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. Another question I have is in regards to the athletic journey for people that have not reached their ages 40 yet. Perhaps we can talk a little bit about what runners can expect around the time that they do turn 40. What are some things that change and how would they best be able to handle this transition?
Okay. And it's an interesting question because, of course, it's not like you wake up one day and, oh my goodness, you know, now I'm 40, now I'm not young anymore. I think one thing to encourage younger runners who might think, oh my, wow, at least when I was growing up, 40 was like over the hill, is to think that I think what's most important is to choose goals that you're super, super excited about because they challenge you. And so it doesn't have to be a PR. I mean, in my case, I reached a PR, you know, when I was almost 50, but it can be something you've never done before. Like, for example, negative split a marathon or run a trail marathon. Or it can be something that you didn't think you could do anymore, like run a marathon under a certain time, even if it's not a PR. And I also think two things that, you know, as you enter your 40s or as you think about becoming a master's runner it becomes more important to really think deeply about your whys, you know, why not only come up with goals, but why are these goals important? And there's a greater there are more potential whys as we get older because we've had disappointments from our younger years as runners. We have like more painful life circumstances we've gone through. And I think what starts becoming bigger and more significant, Letty, is that we want to, a big why that I experience and I've seen in other master's runners is we want to inspire younger runners and see, look, you know, you can still achieve really exciting goals as you get older and even inspire our own kids or grandkids. And the other thing is you're going to find that a lot of master's runners are inspiring each other by achieving these amazing things. And wow, if she's doing that or he is in you know, his or her 50s or 60s, I want to keep working towards, you know, something that I wonder if I can achieve. And I guess lastly, convince yourself that you're not going to be able to train the same way as when you were younger because your body isn't the same. You know, doing so would result in the frustration of injury instead of the instead of enjoying your journey as a runner and improving towards your goals. So yeah, younger runners, you know, among your listeners, I mean, look forward to getting older because you're still going to be just as excited about achieving whatever goals you set for yourself. And begin even with surrounding yourself with master's runners, as a younger runner with master's runners, because you're going to find that they're joy in running is even bigger than for the most part than younger runners because we appreciate I know for myself like being able to run as a gift more than when we were younger, especially because of all the times we've been sidelined because of injuries.
Yeah, I agree. As a new master runner myself, it's been a really interesting journey. You kind of look forward to going up an age group, but running has it, you know, you have a lot of people that started running and now the field just seems to be just as competitive. So while perhaps 10 years ago, you looked at the masters and see these big gaps in what people are able to reach, that is no longer the case, right? Everybody has gotten so much better. We have so much technology. We have so much information when it comes to nutrition and shoes and all that stuff. I feel like, you know, by the time we reach 60, 70, it's going to be probably just as competitive as it is now, but we have other things to look forward to with that. And I agree fully with you. I think one of them is being able to appreciate running so much more because of having had challenges such as injuries or children that keep you up at night and then finding that time to carve out more time for running has been pretty great.
Yeah. You know, I should mention, you know, going back to choose something that you think maybe as a goal that you think you couldn't do anymore. My parents, I had mentioned that my dad brought the running movement to Brazil. They are training for their first marathon in years. My dad is an 86-year-old and my mom is a 77-year-old. I mean, they will take some walking breaks, but most of their long runs that they're going on now are just, they're running like most of the distance. They just take a few short walking breaks. And so back to the inspiring, I'm like, you know, if they can do that at that age, you know, and it's because they've kept running. I don't know if I mentioned that, but my mom went back to running in the triathlon at 60. She went on to become world champion in her age group in the triathlon twice and in the duathlon once. And so that was something she never imagined she would achieve. This was like in her 60s.
That's quite amazing. So you come from a, you know, really deep running family. So it's great to see how that, you know, we always hope that our children at some point mirror our interests. So with you, they definitely had that happen.
Yeah, thanks.
At this time, we want to thank our sponsor, YouCan. Are you tired of a spike and crash and GI distress that comes with the sugar-based sports nutrition? It's time to give YouCan a try. YouCan uses steady-release carbs instead of sugars, so you don't feel the highs and the lows in energy. YouCan powders, gels, and bars are powered by Life Steady, a patent starch-based carbohydrate that was originally developed as a medical food to help children maintain stable blood sugar throughout the night. It's backed by science and truly unique in energy source. Clinically proven to help blood sugar stable during exercise, Live Steady supports sustained performance and optimal energy levels. I've tried YouCan now for the past couple of months and I've been happy with my long runs and how I feel. Also, they don't taste bad and after mile 15, I can still stomach them. Top marathon runners in the US, including Emily Sisson, Sarah Hall, Emma Bates, and Chiara D'Amato all use YouCan for fuelings. So why shouldn't you give them a try? Especially because Marathon Running podcast listeners have a chance to try 4 gels for free. All you pay for is the cost of shipping. So head over to youcan.co/MRP, which, by the way, stands for Marathon Running Podcast, to claim this offer and get your free samples. If you are already using YouCan and you want that 20% discount, you can just go to youcan.co and save those 20% with code MRP. We're also having all this linked in our show notes. And now back to the show. So, all right, let me move on to another question in regards to strategies and mindsets. I always say this to every person that comes onto the podcast where I cross this mindset path. There's no training for mindset, really. I mean, unless you work one-on-one with a psychiatrist, sports psychiatrist. For the average runners, there is no booklet that says, hey, you've got 8 weeks to train for this marathon. Here's what you do on day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, etc. What are your advice and tips that you give to your athletes when it comes to how to train your mind and how to get it strong by the time the marathon rolls around?
It is so much about what you tell yourself. And I tell my athletes this all the time. When you're out training, especially the long run, especially the quality sessions where you have to push your body and make those strong efforts, you're training your mind to tell yourself the right positive things. Because what happens, like, you know, Letty, as a runner, is it's when we start feeling tired that those negative thoughts creep in, and we you know, and those negative thoughts usually have something to do with, I can't do this, or I have to slow down. So if you can turn that around, first of all, expect those thoughts to come. Don't be taken aback by them. Like, oh my goodness, there must be something wrong with me because I'm thinking these negative thoughts and maybe my body just doesn't have it. No, expect there to be times when you're going to feel the fatigue, and when you're with that, going to start to think those negative thoughts. The important thing is to substitute them with positive thoughts that give you confidence and more motivation and drive. And you do that both during your quality session, especially when you have to push, like practicing telling yourself the right thing. Why is this important to you? But also even in preparing for those quality sessions, you know, why is it that I want to do a good session today? It's because of my goal, but why is my goal important to me? And then practicing all kinds of mental strategies that have worked. I mean, sometimes it's not thinking like those adrenaline thoughts, like picturing the finish line or how hard you've already worked. Sometimes it's just repeating a mantra about how to run strongly. I'm always telling my runners, you know, focus on something about the quickness and springiness in your push-offs. So sometimes it's practicing, just focusing on how you're pushing, on how you're running. That takes away from like paying attention to how the effort feels, for example.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And so do you tell them to do that every Monday morning, or do you tell them to do that just sporadically whenever they feel it during a run?
During the quality parts of run or during long runs, you know, practice telling yourself the same kind of things that you're going to tell. You will naturally tell yourself those same kind of things during race day if you really trained your brain in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. And from your experience, what do you feel like when it comes to mindset has changed with those thoughts creeping in as you gained experience and as we age? Do you feel like you are becoming a stronger person when it comes to that? Or do you feel like these thoughts become more aggressive as a master runner to quit and to, you know, just not finish this run?
You've raised a incredibly important point, because one of the things that we have to our advantage, Letty, and you're going to experience this, your listeners as they age, is one of the things that improves. Even though we do lose speed as we get older, our mental toughness improves. And I think part of that is practicing these mental strategies. So we gain a bigger repertoire of positive things we can tell ourselves, and have more time. We found more experience practicing telling ourselves the right things that will drive us during training and therefore during races too. But also, and I feel like people might think this is only tangentially related, but also important, is I think running is so therapeutic, but we've gone through more, like I've mentioned, like situations in life that are painful. And it's a way it's sort of like a pain that you can control running. It's a way to like put your emotions into running. If you think about these, you know, the things that have been difficult for you and how they've affected you, and even negatively, if you can put that emotion into the running, this was something that helped, you know, has helped me do really well. That's also going to increase our mental toughness and our ability to push through discomfort instead of letting the fatigue and discomfort and pain slow us down.
Yeah, that makes sense. So earlier we touched a little bit on how master runners approach their runs a bit differently. You mentioned that your master runners perhaps make their warm-ups a little bit longer, maybe run that warm-up mile a little bit slower, perhaps do some more dynamic stretching. Now let's talk a little bit about post-run and recovery. What do you recommend to master's runners that they do and put more emphasis on compared to the runner that's not a master runner yet?
Okay, post-run. Well, one thing is that the fueling in that half hour window, ideally like right after a long run or quality run, really does take on a life of its own. You're going to feel so much stronger your next run if you fuel like right afterwards. I have a friend, for example, who does the shower smoothie. So she arrives from a fast run or a long run, and she knows she's going to go take a shower. She's really like too tired to make herself something sweet. So she makes herself a smoothie, and she literally takes it in the shower, so with a lid on, so that she can be like, doesn't have to delay putting, you know, fuel into your muscles, which is your muscle cells are going to be more open. So you'll put more, you're going to store more glycogen in your muscles for more repair and for more energy for next time. So that's one thing. The stretching right afterwards, giving yourself treating yourself in a sense to massages when you can get them, or if you're, you know, if it's not affordable to you, at least to foam rolling. That really makes a difference too, to get rid of that tightness, for more mobility in your, for your running in general.
CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF protect skin against damaging UV rays and continuously deliver 3 essential ceramides to help restore skin's protective barrier so it can lock in moisture. Non-greasy, fragrance-free, and won't clog pores? With CeraVe, skin feels hydrated and looks healthy all day. CeraVe facial moisturizers with SPF from the number one dermatologist recommended facial moisturizer brand.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Okay, so I like that. I like that nutrition, and then maybe give yourself some more TLC.
Yeah, and more sleep, Letty, too, because the fueling is how it's going to happen, the building up stronger. But be disciplined about the you know, going to bed at a time that will give you enough sleep, because that's where it happens. That's where we build up, when we build up stronger in our sleep.
Well, that's great advice. Yeah, sleep is already so important. So it's good to hear that that can also help us recover a little bit better. Now let's talk about the times when we're not running. I know that we're being told strength training is more and more important. There's science behind it that some certain strength exercises, you know, lunges and those things are proven to make us faster because of what muscle groups they work and how they work them. Now, when it comes to master runners, what are your recommendations for your athletes in regards to strength training?
Yes, very good question. Strength training creates a stronger, more well-balanced body that is more resilient to injury. And so as masters runners, Letty, what happens is we've developed different imbalances, different compensation patterns because of old injuries, especially. And so strength training is going to iron out those left-right asymmetries, for example. And the other thing is, all our muscle groups are not equally strong, right? And with their tendons that go with it, we have some weak links in our body. And if you don't do strength training, those weak muscles are going to try to keep up with the stronger ones when you run, and eventually they're going to break down from the strain of that. So strength training also helps to strengthen those weaker areas in our body. With runners, it's often the lateral muscles. And also we all need to improve every one of us, our hip strength. That is to strengthen our glutes, because those are going to stabilize us as we run and help to propel us forward. And the stronger you can get your hip muscles, the more resilient to injury you're going to be. It's going to help you with your running. You're going to be more resilient to injury because you don't overuse your hamstrings, your quads, your hip flexors, your calves, but it's also going to make you a stronger, better runner. And I do also recommend, core strength has many benefits, helping us maintain form when tired. But I do also recommend a little bit, not a lot, but say one exercise in your strength training routine that is heavy lifting, because that's going to improve the power in your push-offs, and so it will help improve your running speed, which is something that is what we lose at a faster rate than endurance as older runners or as we age. And also plyometric drills have been shown to help us resist fatigue at the end of the marathon. So different kinds of jumps, or I do them myself and assign them to my athletes, are really helpful. And the other thing is, if you just run, you're still going to lose muscle mass, like people do, even if they're not runners as they get older. But if you strength train, Letty, that's going to really go a long way to reducing or slowing down that loss of muscle mass that happens as we get older.
Perfect. Thank you for explaining that. I want to dive a little bit into the physiology of our bodies and what are the actual things that happen to us. You mentioned the loss of muscle elasticity. And then what other things can you tell us about, and then why those things happen, such as, you
Yeah, so I mean, definitely, lots of elasticity. With that, some loss in mobility. Feeling more stiff, especially after a run the next morning, feeling more stiff at the beginning of a run. We developed to some extent less, or we're able to store a little less glycogen in our muscle cells and our liver than when we're younger. And so that's why that fueling right afterwards, fueling during the longer runs is important. And you'll also find that something that worked for you in terms of fueling during a long run might not work for like all of time, because our body it becomes more difficult to absorb certain kinds of sugars. So you of course don't want to take gels or drinks that are just going to sit in your stomach. So you might also have to change that as you get older. And and definitely you cannot run as many miles because of needing that extra recovery time. And so I'm a huge proponent of cross training. In fact, if I can let you and your listeners into a little secret, something that I use as a powerful secret weapon for my athletes and myself, is that we're so used to, when we're running, just piling on the miles. But doing a cross training session, Letty, like the day after you've just run, is going to have bigger benefits for you in terms of increasing your total body strength and endurance, and also improving your aerobic and your anaerobic conditioning than doing another easy run, or than doing an easy run. For example, if I instead of doing an easy run, what I do and have my athletes is I'll do like a bike training session or a swim session, in which I'll include intervals. So you're pushing during those intervals, so you're making stronger efforts than you would going out for a slow run just to get the miles in. And so you're improving your anaerobic conditioning as well. You're improving your total body strength, and you're not putting your body through that pounding of a running that might break it down somewhere, turning into an injury.
Okay. Thank you. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right. So we've talked about strength training. So let's talk about a little bit of cross training. For your master athletes, do you recommend that they do more cross training or focus more on running? And if you do give them cross training exercises, what are they and what should they look like?
Okay. Yes, a good question. Well, it might come as a surprise to you that I run my marathons, including my sub three, running between 30 and 35 miles a week. The rest of it comes from, yes, between 30 and 35. The rest of it, of my fitness, comes from supplementing that with cross training. And in my case, it's swimming, biking, and strength training, which, like I mentioned, is crucial. And that's mostly what I assign to my runners. Some of them prefer the elliptical or the Stairmaster, but basically, you're going to get huge aerobic, anaerobic, and muscular strength and endurance benefits, as well as improve your mental game. If, in other words, increase your repertoire of mental strategies to push through discomfort and pain, by implementing cross training instead of more days of just easy miles. And it will also it will increase your love of running, because if you're like just running day after day after day, you're running a lot of that tired. But if you include the variety of say biking or swimming, when you go and run 2 days after your previous run, you're going to be more excited about and more rested from running itself. Now with biking, the most effective way to do it is really on a say spin bike or trainer, because then you can do intervals, which are going to improve your anaerobic conditioning as well as aerobic. And when you do steady biking, it's really important to try to maintain high cadence, because, for example, when I'm biking, like at 100 rotations per minute. And so when I run, it really has a good carryover effect to maintaining a high cadence running, which ideally should be around 90. You know, swimming is a great way to increase your total body strength and, you know, your upper body strength, so that when you're tired, your legs are tired running, you're able to drive your arms more powerfully. And then, you know, strength training is an absolute must too. So I definitely recommend, instead of more miles, to supplement with, and if you haven't yet, and you're just, you know, you don't even know, you know, how good it'll go about it, choose one of those things and substitute it in for your easy runs, because you can push, and it's not going to, you know, it's not going to have a negative effect on, it can still count as cross training, but it will increase your aerobic and anaerobic conditioning more than going out for another easy run.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can't believe that you did your marathon PR on 35 miles plus cross training. Can I ask you what your first marathon time was, just to compare and see what you started at when it comes to marathons?
When I ran my very first marathon, I didn't even break the 4 hour barrier. It was a little bit over four. Was it like 405, 406? Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing.
You know, so it's exciting to me to see that my times have got faster, because one of the things I should mention, Letty, to you and your listeners, is one of the things that we find really rewarding is to study. Have you seen the eighth graded performance charts?
I've heard of it, but I haven't taken the time to look at it.
Okay, yeah, maybe you'll get more interested as you get older, but it is such a good, happy feeling, a big sense of achievement to say, look at your, you know, 5, 10K or marathon time, like now, whatever your age is, you know, say it's 54, whatever, not you, but somebody may say at the 54, and then to compare it to their marathon time when they were 46, maybe the time isn't as fast, but it gives you a percentage, and what your time, you know, would have been when you were younger. And so you might very well find, as you implement some of these strategies that I've mentioned, the mental ones and the training ones, that your performance is actually better. You know, the percentages, you know, scores your performance than when you were younger. So, you know, you've ran a better performance than when you were younger. And, you know, really that's what counts. It's how we perform at our age, you know, compared to what's, you know, they do it relative to the world's record at that age, but relative to how we can expect to perform at that age.
Yeah, that. And then also, obviously, you know, for people that ran a long time ago and didn't have the super shoes that supposedly take off that 4%, 5%, all that stuff is very interesting. I'm interested to look at that age graded chart.
Yeah, no, because it's definitely a more fair way to, and even to compare, you know, performances from younger to older. It's more about comparing our own performances, but to compare performances on a more level ground. I should mention that one of the things that slows us down also as we get older is our body becomes less efficient at transporting oxygen to our muscles. So our VO2 max goes down sort of at a steady, slow pace, but that decline is also slowed down by continuing to train and continuing to do quality sessions in our running.
Yeah, no, that's great. Thank you so much for explaining that. So Rebecca, thank you so much. Please, before we hop off, let me know who your ideal athletes are and how they can get a hold of you if they wanted to coach with you.
Oh, okay, sure. I coach actually athletes of every age, but I more and more so I've been coaching older athletes, in other words, athletes as they approach and over 40, so in their master's years. But I do coach younger athletes. I even coach some high schoolers too, individually. And so if anybody has any questions, is interested in my online coaching, if you're in Connecticut, is interested in one-on-one sessions or any of my classes, they can contact me at coachrebecca16@gmail.com, or they can just submit a form on my website, which is conqueringchallenges.com. And that's also my handle on Instagram, Conquering Challenges.
Perfect. Thank you, Rebecca, so much for your time. We really appreciate you coming on.
Oh, you're welcome, Letty. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Yeah, thank you for chatting with me today.
Thank you, Rebecca, for speaking with us. We really appreciate all your knowledge and your insight. That was very exciting. And for those of you listeners that now want to learn more from her, I know she has her own sports community and everything, but we will link her information in the show notes so you can reach out to her if you're a master runner or if you're going to be a master runner.
Or you just want to know more.
Exactly. So I think that's it for today. Stay tuned for next week. Next week, we are going to have an episode like every week. And I actually don't know what we're going to be talking about. The week after that, we'll have a on running etiquette, a topic that we've not really talked about in depth. You know, all these things such as which way to run on when you're running on a track and what lane can you run in.
But the third week from next Tuesday will be a not interesting episode. So don't listen to that one.
Come on, Ryan, cut me some slack here. All right, so that's it, you guys. Tune in next week for a set episode that we don't know what it's going to be yet. Hope you guys, if you're tapering for Boston, then good luck with that. Again, do not cancel your reservations. Boston has not been canceled. And with that,
have a good week of running.
Thanks for tuning in. For more information and marathon running news, please head to www.marathonrunningpodcast.com, and we'll be back next week.
Are you looking for the perfect apparel that mirrors your love for running? Look no further than Run Swag, the go-to store by runners for runners. From witty tees to hoodies that commemorate your marathon majors to crops that get you motivated, Run Swag's got you covered. Discover the perfect blend of comfort and style. Visit www.runswag.com. Run Swag, there's something for every runner.